Now, what are the types of parsers that are available today? So we've got the keyword based parsers, the grammar based parsers, and statistical parsers. So here we will look at in more detail about each. The first being the keyword based parsers, which are of course the simplest, and of course being the simplest, they are the least accurate. Now, how do they function? What do they parse? So they work by identifying words, phrases, and simple patterns in the text of the resume, and then apply simple heuristic algorithms to the text they find around these words. What's basically a heuristic algorithm? So a heuristic algorithm is nothing but a code that is written to convert the text and put it into a usable format. So algorithm is a code, heuristic is some sort of guidelines or basic shortcuts which are used, methods which are used for the parsing process. For example, they may look for something that looks like a postal code in the resume and then try to interpret the surrounding words as an address. So this is a guideline or a hook or a heuristic which is used where the postal code is used as a heuristic or a guideline, and then the code is run to put the address alongside into a specific field in the parsing software application. I'm sure the simple example has given you some insight into the functionalities of this sort of a parser. The next type or category of parser is called as the grammar-based parser. Now, of course, as we progress through these types, the complexity and the accuracy would be increasing. So by contrast, this type of parser, they tend to contain an enormous number of grammatical rules that seek to understand the context of occurrence of every word in the resume. So they will look at the syntax of the language and they will then draw upon a syntactical interpretation of the way the resume has been articulated. These same grammar parsers also combine complex structures. So they combine words and phrases together to make complex structures that capture the meaning of every sentence. Now, if you are very intent on having people, who respond closely to what is the objective, like you want a person with a growth mindset, you want a person with a positive attitude, you want people who challenge the status quo, and if this is written, in your advertisement and you get keywords similar, then it is upon the parser, it is the ownership of the parser software to exactly match those and put them into a database. So these parsers are much more complicated than keyword based parsers, but generally capture more detail. Yeah, so if you need more detail, if you need exact specifications in your ad to match the application that is being shared by the user or the resume, then the grammar based parser is a go-to application for you. The next is a statistical parser, which attempts to apply numerical models of text to identify structure in resumes. So now this is a counterpart of the grammar based, where there are word based or grammatical rule based parsers. So like grammar based parsers, they can distinguish between different contexts of the same word or phrase and can also capture a wide variety of structures such as addresses, the timelines, and similar aspects. So any algorithms which can capture any specific logic can be used, or is a part of the statistical parser. So these parsers, they have a high level of accuracy, and to be more accurate, they require as input a vast number of resumes that are manually marked with all the information that is required to be extracted. So this is the use and functionality of a statistical parser. Now, we had already made a mention when we saw the SaaS, software as a service part in the ATS software application. Again, we are going to refer to the same base technology, that is the cloud computing. And let's see how we can leverage the power of cloud computing further. So as I mentioned, cloud computing is nothing but the use of computing resources. Now, if you were to look at the basics of a computer, it can be divided into two broad parts. The hardware of the computer, the drives, the RAM, the ROM, the processor, okay, and the software which runs on those hardware infrastructure, yeah, software which may be in our case cloud-based ATS, cloud-based parsing, okay, and of course delivered as a service over a network, that is the internet. So hardware and software which resides on the cloud as an abstraction someplace else on a server and is given to you through the internet service. Like as I mentioned, you know, we use many cloud services already, yet we may not be aware of. Like let's say if you log into a Zoom interface or a Microsoft, you know, Teams interface on the web. So you are basically using something like a cloud, correct? I had also given you a very simple example of Gmail functionality. So if you are using Gmail on a Chrome browser, the first thing that you will see is a login, correct? Where you have to put your username, your password, and then it will, on any specific device, as long as you are connected to the internet and you have a browser, either a Chrome, a Firefox, a Mozilla, an Edge, you will be able to log in. So this is how a cloud system works at the very basic level. So of course there are a lot of complexities which are encountered at the server or the backend, but we will not move into that. So the name comes from a common use of a cloud-shaped symbol as an abstraction of the complex infrastructure it contains in the system diagrams in the background. So if you were to look at a cloud today in the sky, or if you were traveling by an aeroplane and you encounter clouds, are you able to see through the clouds? No. So it's a complex abstraction, but when you look at a cloud, it looks pleasing, it looks simple. So this is, you know, also used in the information technology language. So here with the help of this diagram, we will simplify cloud computing. Okay, and how does it help our business? Huh? So cloud computing comes into focus only when you think, okay, about what IT always needs, correct? So it's a way to increase capacity or add the capabilities on the fly. Now, what do I mean on the fly? On a quick basis, on a plug and play basis. Like let's suppose, you do not have access to your laptop one day. You are, let's say, at the airport, correct? And your internet connectivity is not proper. And you see a kiosk at the airport, okay? You see a series of computers and they seem to have the Wi-Fi availability from the airport. You log into one such kiosk computer and you get your work done. So this is what you're doing as mentioned on the fly without investing in the infrastructure. Similarly, organizations which are startups, okay, a startup may comprise of maybe 5, 10, 15 employees. They may function from a business hub. Would they actually have a full room for server infrastructure? Of course not, correct? So they have to grow to a unicorn or a large organization to have those infrastructures. So they invest in a software application where they have a lightweight client, a browser, or a simple login system, and the actual infrastructure lies with the company providing those services. So that's essentially what the cloud does, yeah? And of course, it helps businesses, because in businesses, what happens is they're actually helping businesses to come up to speed. So that is what is meant when it says cloud computing helps businesses fight a quick changing environment with flexibility. So you have a plug and play mechanism, you have the ability to only customize, buy customized options and pay a certain, you know, amount which is not very substantial, which helps you bring your business up to speed, correct? So end users basically access cloud-based applications through a web browser or a lightweight desktop application or a mobile app. I think most of us have been using Android-based or Apple-based mobile applications. And we also use, you know, desktop-based, like let's say if you install a WhatsApp. Now, usually WhatsApp comes as an application on the mobile phone, but you also have WhatsApp for web, which is a lightweight desktop application, or you can avail of it through a Chrome tab or any browser application. Now, when you are logging in, what is it? It is nothing but a cloud-based application, correct? So you are accessing it in a lightweight manner, while the business software and the user's data are stored on servers at a remote location. So maybe the software that you are using has a server farm in Ireland, in Europe, or in Germany, or it may have its server farm in Ohio, you know, one of the particular states of the United States. You never know, and you will never be provided with that confidential information. Thus, cloud computing allows companies to avoid upfront infrastructure costs, and it tends to focus on projects that differentiate their business instead of infrastructure. It's not your headache, basically. To put it in simple terms, it is not your headache to figure out the complex infrastructure that runs in the background. You only have to focus on your core need. So let's work with a very simple example before we move to the next discussion. Let's consider Mr. ABC is working in Chennai. Okay, he is a part of a startup and they are into some biomedical facilities or clinical research. Now, they require 4 clinical researchers by February of 2023 because they've got a new process in clinical research. Now, Mr. ABC is running, okay, the startup has already purchased, an application tracking system, a parsing software, some part of an HRIS suite, which is publicly, you know, sold. It's either a shareware or a purchased version. Now, what is Mr. ABC going to do? He's going to log in into the system. It also has the functionality of pulling up resumes from the job boards, resumes from the social media, and Mr. ABC has now a pool of 30 resumes at his disposal. Correct? Now, what is he going to do? Is he going to bother about what happens in the background? How is the server running? How many server farms are there? Where are they located? Whether they are located in Vietnam or Philippines or China or Japan? No. Mr. ABC is going to see, okay, I want people to work at the Chennai location. So he is going to, look for people who are willing to relocate, who are close to Chennai. They may be from Hyderabad, Bangalore, Pune, Mumbai. And he needs 5 numbers. So he is going to sieve and apply filters and funnels and then test and interview them. So any headache done at the background is not his purview. So I think the simple example explains to you the working of the cloud. So he simply has to log in, do his work, get those requisite resumes, or log out of the system. Yeah. So the cloud provides, okay, the cloud providers, I'm sorry, manage the infrastructure and platforms that run the applications. So a familiar term is being revisited here in the slide, that is SaaS. Which is also referred to as on-demand software. Yeah. So software as a service is also known as on-demand. So Mr. ABC is demanding these services and they are paying. So maybe that organization does not have to purchase 10 licenses of the software. Since Mr. ABC, who's a part of an 8-member startup, okay, is using one. So he's purchased one on behalf of this particular startup, hence called as paper price basis because it is priced accordingly. SaaS provides generally price applications using a subscription. So this organization, this startup, XYZ Corporation, may have taken a 3-month or a biannual or an annual subscription through which they are able to get a password and use it as, you know, something which is worthwhile. So again, we are continuing with our discussions about leveraging the power of cloud computing in recruitment. So the cloud enables the business to reallocate IT operations costs away from the hardware software spending and personal expenses towards meeting other IT goals. So they could probably have, you know, they could probably spend someplace else rather than purchasing those servers, those applications. They can only purchase a lightweight client. In addition, with applications hosted centrally, updates can be released without the need for users to install new software. Just imagine that SAP is one of the, you know, cloud providers, and to all its users, as a part of a 2023 upgrade, it is giving value addition where users initially could not, you know, pick up information from, let's say, Instagram. But now, as an update, people can use Snapchat and Instagram updates where information can be converted from a picture to a text. And that text can be parsed and stored at the client side. So this need not, so Mr. ABC working in Chennai need not, you know, install a new software or run an upgrade. It will automatically happen at the server end and can be, you know, utilized by XYZ Corporation by the recruitment professional, Mr. ABC. I think this is pretty simple. One drawback of SaaS though is that the user's data is stored on the cloud provider's server. Now, if you were to recall, companies like Facebook, they are facing lawsuits in Europe, in you know, in Asia, in Americas. Okay, companies like Google's, they have to pay hefty fines because sometimes this data is leaked. This data is leaked to marketing organizations. Now, the calls that we usually do receive for credit card solicitation, for a holiday, you know, company, or for some sort of a purchase, is usually the data that is stored somewhere and is leaked by various companies that we come in contact with, correct? So this is one of the drawbacks. So if it is too sensitive a data, then people need to take a call. So as a result, there could be unauthorized access to that data. It can fall in the hands of competitors as well. Now, we will specifically look at use. Again, we will repeat the use. So the convergence of cloud computing with HR systems is already everywhere, yet invisible. So I have already cited some very simple examples. Yeah. So these solutions, often packaged as software as a service, touch our professional lives as profoundly as our personal ones. It's through the use of this image, try and derive certain benefits. So one is flexibility. I'm sure by, you know, even before the slide was played out, many of you might have preempted the benefits. So one benefit for sure is flexibility. So if you were to now, you know, having worked in the recruitment arena, the L&D arena, I have seen various applications closely. So this is like a customization that you can just tick, correct? They will give you some plans or some offers, which will have right from the basic, a freeware version to a very advanced sort of a version. A simple example I would like to give you is the example for Spotify. I'm sure many of us do avail of Spotify Music, right? It's one of the best ways of accessing music, podcasts, serials, you know, which you can hear and so on. So initially when I had downloaded Spotify about a year and a half ago, when it was pretty popular, I was running the free version on my phone. And then there were these advertisements, and when you are driving a car and you know, you want to reduce the volume at times because they're blaring. And then eventually I made a decision, why not go for the paid version? Now the paid version is ad-free. It gives you features like downloading a playlist. So whenever I'm traveling by air, correct? So I have to keep my phone on the aeroplane mode so I can easily listen to the downloaded playlists. There is a facility to enhance your playlist with similar songs and so on. So it becomes something of, you know, a relaxation and an enhancement. So this flexibility is given, correct? So through the use of this simple real-time example, a user is flexible. Like if you go to a hair cutting salon or a beauty parlor, or if you are at, you know, some particular shop, you might hear, or a restaurant, you might hear the free version playing where there are ads as well. So it's a matter of flexibility. If you want to do away with the ads, you have an option of subscribing on a yearly note or on a quarterly note and getting a paid version. So similar flexibility is accorded by the cloud computing software applications. The next is disaster recovery. So there may be a backup facility. Of course, that has to also be paid. So your data, if it is, you know, so it can be recovered. They might have server farms or replication servers through which you can recover that data, since it is not residing on your server. Automatic updates were already mentioned. Pay as you go. So, you know, you might want to consider which option to work with. The Spotify example, either a freeware or a shareware or a fully paid version. Increased collaboration, of course. So certain functionalities can, you know, lead you to take several subscriptions with collaboration functionality. Document control, so you can also use certain privacy controls. Security, so since it's a password based system, there is a security, unless there is a huge, you know, cyber attack or your data is sold. And location independent, you don't need to worry, and you're not relying on one device. It can be location independent, so if you have it installed on your phone or your laptop, you can roam around with it. It's there on your browser as well, so it's also at times independent of the device. Thank you.